We'd like today to turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. The book of Ruth consists of 85 verses, and it would be impossible to exhaust the book of Ruth in our lifetime. It is a book filled with many gems, a treasure chest full of great truths. It's a story of love. It's a story of devotion. It's a story of redemption. It is set in the distressing context of the book of Judges. We learn that from Ruth chapter 1 in verse 1. In other words, the victories of Joshua had been followed by a time of spiritual declension, a period of national departure from the Lord. It was a time of great waywardness and faithlessness, time of permissiveness, rebellion, immorality, and really irresponsibility. They were very dark ages for Israel, and to learn about this, one would have to study the book of Judges, where you see a cycle of apostasy, which led to bondage. The people would cry out, and God would deliver. And you see that all through the book of Judges. So we come to the book of Ruth, and it's a time of famine. It's a time of suffering. It's a time of continuous and great need. Really, the setting for the book is set forth in the first chapter, and in those first five verses, a tale of woe is told. You read in those first five verses, you read of a famine, you read of three funerals, and three widows in five verses. As we said, the book of Ruth paints a beautiful picture of redemption. It also paints a very beautiful picture of the providence of the Lord, teaching us that God is faithful in His business of loving us and superintending the affairs of the world and providentially caring for His people. So against this background of distress that we see Ruth, she's a young woman. She had come out of the paganism and idolatry of the land of Moab. And she stands in sharp contrast, and she is a very bright example of purity, of faith, and of responsible living. We'd like to read the first three verses, and then we'll read verses 15 through 19. Begin reading with verse 1, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, or it just so happened, that she ended up on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Verse 15. We're skipping these other verses to save time. We'll be referring back to them. "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her." Notice those two words, "for her." "And leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned that was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take advantage of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law in whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." In these verses, we see Ruth gleaning in the field of Boaz. We want to center the thought of the message around what Boaz said to his reapers concerning Ruth in verse 16. "And let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her." What we have in our text is the account of a day in the life of Ruth. And we want to view her as an example of how we ought to live our daily lives. We've preached from this passage several times. We've applied it to our study of the Scriptures. But we want to speak today on a good day of gleaning. A good day of gleaning. Oh, that every day in our lives would be a good day of gleaning. And I believe it can be. I believe it should be. First of all, consider the privilege and opportunity of Ruth. And her privilege and her opportunity is our privilege and our opportunity. First of all, may we say that great blessings and possibilities exist, all because of Boaz. The account begins drawing our attention to a mighty man of wealth. Verse 1. Our attention is brought to a very powerful man, a very influential man, a man of great prosperity, a man who had great substance and treasures and possessions. He was a man of resources. He was a man of abundance. And then we are told in verse 1, and his name was Boaz. And his name was Boaz. That means by strength. And that was the name of the left pillar of the temple. Notice in, if you keep a mark there and turn to 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 21. "And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar, and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz," meaning strength. Jesus Christ is our Boaz. And he, of course, far exceeds Boaz. We read in Ephesians 3 and verse 8 of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 19 that it pleased the Father that in Him, that is in Christ, that all fullness would dwell. And in Colossians 2 and verse 9, for in Him, that is Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in a world that is a wasteland, a world filled with devastation, a world of barrenness and emptiness, a world of desolation, there is such a thing as all fullness. Everything that you and I can possibly need is found in those two words, all fullness. And we are told where all fullness is. All fullness is in Christ. That is, in Jesus Christ, there is more than enough for every season, for every circumstance. In seasons of trial, in seasons of persecution, in seasons of sorrow, in seasons of joy, in times of coldness, in times of apathy, all fullness is in Christ. Again, we live in a barren world, a world of difficulty, a world of great need, a world that is defiling, a world that has a very powerful draining effect upon children of God. But in Christ, there is treasure. There are resources. There is abundance. There is plenty. Right now, He has the life that you need. Right now, He has the strength and the comfort and the peace and the assurance that each one of us need. He has that which will satisfy. He has that which will encourage and rejuvenate you. Boaz, a mighty man of wealth, had something for Ruth. And just as Boaz had something for Ruth, he not only had something for Ruth, he had something specially for Ruth. And just as that is so with Boaz, the Lord has something special for us in Christ. He not only has what I need, He has something especially for me. That's true every single day. Every single day, regardless of what changes might come to pass in our lives, no matter what the circumstances, I believe the Lord has something special for me every single day. All the possibilities and hope that exists because of our Boaz, Jesus Christ. The blessing, the privilege, and the opportunity that belonged to Ruth, all because of Boaz. In Ruth chapter 2, we see Ruth, who was not only poor, she was a stranger in the land. And we see her gleaning in the field of Boaz. Notice in verse 3, we read the phrase, "she went." We read another phrase, "and gleaned in the field." And we read another phrase, "belonging unto Boaz." To glean is to gather. So she's in the field of Boaz and she's gathering. To glean means to obtain and to get. She was there in the field of Boaz. She is gathering. She is obtaining. She's getting. To glean grain or other produce in those days was a part of the Mosaic system to help the poor and to help the strangers. You see, the harvesters, the reapers, they would walk through the fields cutting the stalks and binding them in the sheaves. And the poor and the stranger were allowed to walk behind the harvesters and gather the stalks that were lying on the ground. That's God's welfare program. Now, I can go off on that, but I won't. But that's God's welfare program. He didn't come to Boaz after all the sheaves were bowed and take it from him. No, the poor walked behind the reapers. And they would have to stoop. And they would glean. And Ruth is poor. And she is a stranger. And she is before us gleaning in the field of Boaz. In verses 4 and 5, Boaz, a mighty man of wealth who had everything that Ruth needed, comes into the field and he takes special notice of Ruth. He says, "Whose damsel is this?" Something attracted him to Ruth. Notice in verse 6 and 7, the head reaper gives an answer. And then in verse 8, Boaz draws near to Ruth and speaks to her. Then said Boaz unto Ruth. He didn't address her as a stranger. He addressed her as his daughter. "Hearest thou not, my daughter?" And then he instructed her not to glean in another field, but to abide fast here. In other words, Ruth, everything you need is right here. There's no need for you to go anywhere else. And oh, how true that is today. Notice verse 9. He assured her of both protection and special provision. This is what God does for us every single day. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Said to his young men, because he knew their nature, you keep your hands off of her. You don't do anything to her. He is protecting her. And when thou art athirst, Ruth, when you get thirsty, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Our Boaz does the same thing. Every single day he provides us protection and refreshment. And notice verse 14. Boaz provided a special time of rest and refreshment for her. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, "Come thou hither," I believe in a tent that was set up in the field where the reapers would eat. And he says, "Ruth, you can come here too. And eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. And then she left. Our Boaz, Jesus Christ, does the same thing every day. He sets a table for us. Now, you and I may not sit at that table. You and I may choose to ignore that table. But I'm telling you, every single day, under every single circumstance, there is a table provided by God. And we need to take advantage of that table. In fact, we are fools if we do not sit at that table. So she eats. Verse 15, and when she was risen up to go back out into the field to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. That is, what you have bundled up in the sheaves, I want you to take from those sheaves, and I want you to drop them on purpose right in front of Ruth. Drop some handfuls of purpose for her. What he's saying is, men, I want you to purposely drop for her, right in her path, what she needs. I want you to purposely drop right in her path that which will benefit her, that which will be good for her, that which will profit her and feed her. And then he instructs the reapers, let these things fall where she is, where she can glean them. Verse 16, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her. There were other gleaners, but Boaz says, I want you to drop on purpose for her and leave them there that she may glean them, that she may stoop down and glean. And you do not rebuke her. I believe that happens every day of our lives. I believe that happens every day in the life of a child of God. I believe every single day God drops on purpose right where we are things to glean. And everything that comes to pass in our lives, it may be dire straits, I believe God drops on purpose something for us, even in dire straits. Times of sorrow, times of grief, times of heartbreak. I believe that God drops something on purpose for me. So it just seems like it would be the wise thing to do to look for what God drops. Times of difficulty and hardship, God drops on purpose what I need. Times of strain and times of stress, and times of annoyance and disturbance, misery and suffering, anguish, pain, and affliction, God has something for us. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God has something for you? And do you believe that God drops them on purpose for us to gather? Everything that comes to pass in our lives, God takes special notice, and He makes sure that there are things dropped from His own hand for His child, Dan Gordon. I believe that. But it's so easy to get our eyes on everything that's going on that we do not even recognize what God has dropped right in front of us. But if we really believe that God does this, then it seems to me that we will always be looking. Oh, I know, as bad as things are, I know that God has something that He's going to drop for me right now. Well, then we need to be looking, ready to glean. dropped on purpose from the very hand of God are precious things. Things that will help us. Child of God, if you do not receive help from God in your day, it's because you are trampling upon what God has dropped right in your path. And you're oblivious to it. He drops things that will help us, encourage us, things that will strengthen us, things that will comfort us, things that will suffice us and prepare us for what's coming next. Many of God's people would be far better prepared if they gleaned every day. We'll get to that a little later. He drops in front of us things that will instruct us and assure us and reassure us, things that will draw us to Him, things that will bless our soul. And they are dropped on purpose from God. And they are dropped with a purpose, specifically for you and I. Now it is our responsibility to glean them. It is our responsibility to obtain them, to get them, to take them, and to gather. That's our responsibility. It's not only our responsibility, it is our privilege. It is our privilege every day to glean these handfuls of purpose. They speak of abundance. They speak of love. They speak of the fact that God has taken an interest. Again, notice there in verse 16, handfuls of purpose for her. For her. This speaks of an opportunity on Ruth's part. And leave them that she may glean them every day. There are these handfuls of purpose providing me an opportunity to glean. Now notice verse 17, what Ruth did with the opportunity. So she gleaned. So she gleaned. Dropped right in her path needs that would suffice her. It doesn't say, so she walked on and dwelt on her poverty and dwelt on the fact that she was a stranger. No, it says she gleaned. Every day, that ought to be true. That we gleaned. Think of the joy that was hers in gleaning in that field. And I want to say that Ruth was a very successful gleaner. We read in verse 17 that what she gathered was about an ephah of barley. An ephah is approximately 30 pounds. That's a lot of straw. That's a lot of gleaning. To get a better understanding, an ephah was 10 omers. Notice in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Verse 36. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. You say, so what? Oh, it gets better. Verse 16 of Exodus 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it, speaking of the manna, every man according to his eating, an omer, which is a tenth of an ephah. For every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man of them which are in the tents. An omer was sufficient supply of manna for a day, for an individual. She gleaned 10 omers. 10 times what she needed. 10 times. And may I say, there was still more to glean. She didn't glean everything that there was to glean that day. But she gleaned 10 times more than she needed for a day. Again, every day, God has what we need spiritually. He takes special notice of us, where we are and what we need. And He drops on purpose where we are, that which will benefit us spiritually. Now, are we going to be content with just enough? Or do we want an abundance? If somebody emptied a truckload of $100 bills in the middle of Saginaw Street and the wind began to blow them, and they said, you gather everything you can. Don't tell me that after a little bit you'd say, well, you know, this is really all I need today. I'm going to go home now. No, you wouldn't concern yourself with what you need today. You'd be concerning about your lifetime, and then you'd get all pious and say, well, I'm going to gather some for my family and my friends too. Yet when it comes to spiritual things, oh, Pastor, don't give us too much. You're giving us more than we can handle. Take all that you can get. You might need it tomorrow. Why do we treat spiritual things? I'll just take what I need. And most don't even do that. And then when it comes to material things, I'll get everything that I can get, whether I need it or not. Oh, we need not be content with just enough. We need to gather everything we can every single day. Ruth had gathered so much that she was able to meet her own requirements. And after she was sufficed, it said, notice in verse 18, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Isn't it amazing? We like to have material things in reserve. But when it comes to spiritual things, we don't care if there's a reserve. Ruth was able to bless Naomi because Ruth was a gleaner. And I'm telling you, if you and I would learn to glean, if we would learn to glean every day, we could be a blessing to others. We ourselves would be sufficed, and there would be that which was held in reserve. And you might need that tomorrow. Still need to glean tomorrow. But what you gleaned today may help you tomorrow. It may help you 20 years from now. A tragedy may come in your life, but if you've been gleaning and gleaning and gleaning, I'm telling you, you can make it because you've been a gleaner. Oh, we need to glean. We need to gather what God has for us. It is the failure to glean that results in spiritual restlessness. It is the failure to glean that results in spiritual unsettledness. It is the failure to glean that results in spiritual slumber and spiritual despondency. This is where our lack of power comes from. This is where our lack of knowledge is found. This is where our lack of wisdom is found. A failure to glean. And every day God drops on our path. And here we are, we've got our minds on something else, and we're trampling on what God has laid in our path. God help us to be good gleaners. Now, what made Ruth a successful gleaner? Well, that goes back to verse 1, or chapter 1. We're not going to turn there for time's sake. But Ruth was surrendered. She was committed. She was dedicated to God. Back in Ruth chapter 1, she determined to follow God at all cost. She makes a total commitment, even if it meant death. She committed without any limits. She committed without any boundaries. She was determined. She was committed. She was focused to go all the way. She said, Naomi, I'll follow you wherever. I will die with you. And if you're going to glean on a daily basis, there must be a daily surrender and a daily commitment to the Lord. Secondly, Ruth realized that there was gleaning to be done. Notice verse 2. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. She realized that there was corn out there. And I'm going to go get it. She wanted it. I'm afraid many of God's people don't realize this simple truth. There's corn out there. There's the blessings of God out there today for me. I got to go glean. I got to go gather. There are handfuls of purpose for us. Notice in verse 7, she went to one of the reapers. He's explaining to Boaz how Ruth came. He said, she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among sheaves. So she came and it continued evening, even from morning until now. She started gleaning in the morning and she didn't stop. That should be our day. That should be our day. Gleaning of the blessings of God. Notice also that she put herself in a position to glean. Verse 7 again, she hath continued even from morning until now. She positioned herself behind the reapers where she could be blessed. You and I need to position ourselves every day where we can be blessed. We are to position ourselves every day where we can do some gleaning. Many do just the opposite. Number 4, she paid attention and was aware of what was being dropped in her path. Dropped some handfuls on purpose for Ruth. And she was aware every time the straw was dropped, she was aware and she bent down. Picked it up, gathered it. Every day, handfuls of purpose are falling from the hand of God. And God help us that we be not oblivious. God help us that we be not unconscious and unmindful and ignorant and blind to the handfuls of purpose The other day, not going to say the store because many of you know who it was. I was in the store and the owner of the store was dealing with a customer. And when he was done, the customer said, "God bless you." And the owner said, "Well, he never has yet. I don't think he's going to start now." Right then, I was getting ready to say something, but the man said, "Oh, my friend, God blesses you every day." How true. And God drops handfuls of purpose every single day. And yet some take the attitude, "Oh, he does that for others, but he never does it for me." No, let's be honest. He does it for you too. But you're too blind to see it. You've got your mind on other things and you're too blind to see what God drops right in front of you. It's there every day. Every single day. Whatever comes our way, whether it be what we call good things, whether it be what you and I would consider terrible things, God drops what we need. And we need to be looking. We need to be aware. May we view each day as a day of gleaning. May we view each circumstance as an opportunity to glean the handfuls of purpose. May we always be looking for what God drops in our path. And then may we be willing to stoop and gather. You know, I believe Ruth picked up a straw at a time. Sometimes she might have picked up a bundle. But for the most part, it's a straw at a time. And that's true with our lives. What God's people want today is to lay in bed and God just drop the whole bundle right on their stomach. It's not going to happen. He'll drop bundles. He'll drop straw by straw. And you just pick up a straw here, a straw there, and you'll be surprised what you'll have at the end of the day. Maybe we'll be willing to glean straw by straw. Oh, that each day would be a day of gleaning from the handfuls of God. She was a successful gleaner and was a blessing and encouragement to Naomi. Naomi asked her, and we need to ask ourselves this every single day. At the end of the day, ask yourself this question. Where hast thou gleaned today? Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? And can you say with Ruth, "The man's name whom I wrought today, the man's name who I was with today, is Boaz." And all at the end of each day, you and I can say, "I spent the day with Jesus, gleaning." And I'm telling you, at the end of that day, don't tell me you had a bad day. There are no bad days when you spend the day with Jesus. When you spend the day gleaning in the field of Boaz. Brother Larry, if you'd come.